The reason why we are all here tonight is to introduce our main speaker, and that's Debbie from Santa Maria. Let's give her a round.
Okay, let me make sure I got everything together here. A couple things here. Something's blinking over there that isn't mine. I'm Debbie. I'm an alcoholic. Hi, everybody. Well, there's a lot of people in this room. And if I don't look at you, then you're not really there. And that's kind of how I lived my life. If I didn't look at you, then you couldn't tell what was going on, and you didn't know anything about me. And because of Alcoholics Anonymous, that's not the woman I am today. So today I can look you in the eye. A little overwhelmed, very grateful today because it's actually my 23rd birthday, and my husband David's here. I'm very, very excited about that. I get to share my birthday with Jack and with Darren, which is a miracle on in itself that all three of us are still here, and with Marianne, and others too. So let me get some spit because I don't have any. All right, so I'm born and raised Santa Maria. Never left, I know. Probably gonna die here, that's what I think too. So my parents are still living, raised in a very strict home, Baptist family. I was in church when I was in my mother's womb, and I was in church starting from the age of 2 weeks. And that was a huge part of my life. Right, go to church. So when I came in here to Alcoholics Anonymous and I saw the God word, it was almost a deal breaker for me. I was almost out of here. I'm the middle of three girls. And for any of you that have girls, like I have girls, I have two, that's difficult. And I was the middle. I'm gonna kind of go through this in a timely manner so you guys can get out of here. 23 years is a long time to stay sober, so if I get 23 minutes for every year, you could be here all night. Anyway, so one of the first things that I remember with my parents that was really hard on me is that my grandpa Pete, I was super close with, and he was crippled, and he was always sitting down. I used to sit on his lap, and he died one day, and I was 7 years old, and my parents wouldn't let me go to the funeral. And I begged them, and I pleaded, and I didn't understand why I couldn't go. But they said, "You're too young. You can't go." And there went my older sister. I understood my little sister not going, but there went my big sister, and I never saw my Grandpa Pete again. I know now that's one of the first forms of me feeling abandoned, or less than, right? Because I couldn't go. 2 years later, my mom was diagnosed with Hodgkin's disease, and I remember very distinctly sitting on my older sister's bed while my dad sat on his knees and told us that they were leaving in the morning to go to Stanford University. And they split us up. I went one way, my other two sisters went to other families, and we didn't see each other except on Sundays for 2.5 weeks. Again. What is going on? My mom's gone. My daddy's gone. My sisters are gone. And now what do I do? And the family that I was with, where they were a Christian family, they were pretty dysfunctional, and it was kind of ugly. And I felt very alone at 9 years of age. So I started looking for things that would fill the void. And my older sister always wore that shirt that said, anything boys can do, girls can do better. Right? So I started smoking pot with all the older kids because she was older and all the older people were there. And I started smoking marijuana with them. And I'd run over to Orchid Junior High and smoke cigarettes in the back with everybody and wave them back and forth so nobody could see, right? Because nobody knew what we were doing when we were doing this. Under the tree. And we'd smoke cigarettes and we'd smoke pot. And it just kind of progressed. And my older sister who I greatly love today. We've had our moments, but she's definitely in my life today. We had a party because my parents loved to bowl, and we had a party at the house, and they were drinking because it was my sister's birthday. And I talked to her a little bit earlier today, and we determined for sure that I was 11 years old, and I wanted a screwdriver, right? Vodka and orange juice. They still do those? So, newcomers? Okay, anyway. I'm older. Anyway. So my sister said, you can't have a screwdriver unless you can do a shot of vodka. Anything boys can do, girls can do better. If my sister can do it, then I can do it, right? So a couple of shots of tequila or vodka later, and I got my screwdriver. And it just progressed. I started to feel better. I started to feel bigger. I got a little more confident. Got a little warm like I am right now. Who closed the door? Anyway, and things just kind of progressed for me in my attitude, in feeling less than. You know, my older sister got to do things. My younger sister got to do things, and I was in the middle. And if you've ever been a middle kid, it's not the best of places to be. Therefore, I only have two girls, no middle. So my older sister, Cindy, got married, and she was due back. I was maid of honor in her wedding, and she was due back. When she came back, her and her husband showed up with a U-Haul, and they loaded everything up that she had, and she said, "We're moving." "So what do you mean you're moving?" And she was gone. And they took off to Modesto, Turlock area, and I didn't see her again for several years. So a lot of abandonment crap, I think, that went on when I was a kid that I internalized and started to believe that I wasn't okay, that you didn't want me, that if you really liked me, you would have taken me, or you would have stayed, or I'd have been included, or you'd have let me come. So I kept smoking pot, kept drinking. Of course, Cindy left, and I stayed with all the neighborhood boys, right? And I was engaged to be married when I met my lovely husband of today. And I was 16, and he was 21 years old, and he could buy alcohol. And I was so happy. I was so happy, but I was engaged to someone else. But he was gone too, abandoned, joined the army, MF. I didn't say it, but he's an MF. Anyway, he left. So again, I'm abandoned, and here comes my, you know, now husband, and he's like, "Dun, da, da, I'll be your bestest friend," and swept me off my feet. Swept me off my damn feet. And we ended up getting married. I was 19 years old when we got married, and I was in love. But we drank a lot. We partied a lot. Our house was where everybody came. And we decided we were going to maybe have a kid. And I ended up pregnant, and neither one of us were quite ready. And so we moved out to this other place, because we had a really small house before. And not such great. You know, we had a lot of problems, a lot of arguments, a lot of fighting. Lots of times where the parties were there, and there was the whole ivory counter in the kitchen. It was like a 3,000 square, it was a huge house. It was just covered in bottles, because that's all we did. I didn't have a life. So we didn't know it, but our landlord's best friend was the chief of police. And they happened to be in the corral area where we were living at, and noticed the marijuana plants that were growing a little bit taller than the corn. You know, and so we didn't know it, right? We didn't know. And the very next day, there was an eviction notice on my door. And my landlord said, "You got 30 days, get out." And we searched and we looked, and we finally found a place. And right before the day before we were going to sign the papers to move into this new place, My husband tells me that he's decided not to move with me. And I was devastated, right? So I scooped up my little baby girl, who was less than a year old at the time, and loaded up my El Camino, and we moved in with Mommy and Daddy. And it was tough, right? Still not sober, still don't care. I was arrested right before we moved out for, I got in trouble for the pot. I got in trouble for 11-550, for any of you that know what that is. And I never went to court. Nope. If I close my eyes and I don't look you in the eye, it never really happened, right? So I didn't go. I didn't go to court. I didn't show up. And my husband and I, we stayed separated for a year and a half, almost 2 years. And I, I got in more trouble. I got in a lot more trouble. I was out one night and got pulled over. The guy I was with got pulled over, and I thought I was golden, and I was most certainly not golden. And I went down for possession, and off I went again back to jail. And this time the judge did not care, really, if I ever got out. And so I stayed in jail for an extended period of time until finally they decided to let me out into drug court. And there I was with my jailhouse braids and my 83-year-old grandmother driving me across to drug court there on Cook Street. And it was very humiliating, but it was the first time ever that I had been clean and sober, the first time ever that I actually thought maybe I have a problem, first time ever that I felt close to God, because when I was in custody, there was women down there that hung on to me and loved on me. Please don't worry about that baby. Please don't worry about that baby. You stand up, you bounce him around, you love on him. You love on him. Don't take him out. When I got to Alcoholics Anonymous, I was pregnant. I had a baby. I woke up. I had a baby. I was living with Dave, but didn't want to live with Dave. I was having to go to treatment. I had to pee in a cup. All that fun, happy stuff you do in treatment. And they said, you got to go to meetings. And I didn't want to go to meetings. I didn't even know what that was. But the part of me that wanted to stay out of jail was a whole lot bigger than the person that wanted to go back. And I really didn't like wearing the Little House on the Prairie jammies that they made you wear. Because I was a girly kind of girl. And we did not wear that kind of shit stuff. So I hated that. I hated that. I hated the shoes. I hated the chones. I hated it all. So I decided that maybe I would come over here and I'd come to Alcoholics Anonymous because it was a requirement for my program. And I sat here and I listened to you people and I didn't like it. And it wasn't in, I came into this room, but it was mostly when we had another place on McClellan. And I started to hear things that kind of started to make a little bit of sense to me. And I started to identify a little bit, but I was really afraid to identify with you because, you know, everybody lets me down, so why would I trust you people? And then, you know, I was going to do step 1.5 and step 2.5 and step 3.5, but I was not going to do 1, 2, 3, and I certainly was never going to do 4. And I remember I was about 68, somewhere in there, 68, 69, 70 days sober, and it was right at the end of a meeting on a Sunday night, and they asked if there was anybody in the room that had a burning desire. And I wasn't sure what that was until that day. And prior to them saying that, as the meeting was coming to a close, I started to get really, really hot. And I couldn't hardly catch my breath. And I felt like there was a lump in my throat, and they said, does anybody have a burning desire? And I screamed out, And I said, Debbie, I'm an alcoholic. And I'm going to die. I said, somebody please help me. And before I left that night, I had a big book and I had a 12 and 12. And it was the most amazing night for me because people all of a sudden cared about me. They wanted me to stay. They wanted to know my name. It was like I turned such a huge corner for me. I'd been able to stay clean and sober during that time frame, but had no idea how to do this recovery thing. I got, you know, hog-tailed, or I don't know how they call it now, but I got pushed into becoming a secretary of a meeting. At 90 days, they decided to waive the 6 months of sobriety requirement. And it was a Sunday at 5:30, that same meeting that saved my butt. And I became the secretary of that meeting, and there was many, many times that I wanted to drink during that time frame. But there was a part of me that wanted to be here for you. And if I didn't open the doors, what was going to happen to you? Because you were more important at that point than I was, because my self-esteem was still in the toilet. So I would show up, you know, on a Sunday afternoon. That used to be barbecue and drinking and all of that, right? So now I'm supposed to stay, you know, stay awake. I'm supposed to come down here, and I did. And I did it, and I did it, and I did it, and I did it over and over again until my commitment was up, which was like 2 years later, because we didn't give up. Nobody wanted that meeting. Anyway, or maybe they thought I really needed it. So that's probably more like what happened. So still in drug court, and I get pregnant. And still in the program. This is blowing Zerberts. I love it. Still in the program, and I am big as a house. I am supersized. I am the biggie. And they tell me now I have to hover to pee in that cup. And I about got myself kicked out of that program because I didn't want to be in that program. I had Alcoholics Anonymous. I didn't need that program. That program saved my butt because it helped me to get here to Alcoholics Anonymous. Because of Alcoholics Anonymous and getting pregnant and pushing through things that didn't feel good, I started to rely on a God that you said I could have, that you told me that I could ask God to reveal himself to me. And if I paid attention, that he would show up, right? So I did that. I was driving down the road and I said, all right, Mr. Boo, if you're really up there, reveal yourself to me. Like double dog dared him. And at that very second, here comes the Santa Barbara County jail bus. Yeah, right? Okay, you saw that, right? That could not have been a bigger sign to me that there was a God working, even if I didn't understand what it was. And even if I didn't think I deserved that love or that care or whatever it was, there was no doubt in my mind that that was a higher power that cared about me. So my husband and I, at one point, were going through the motions of splitting up our first child before I got pregnant. And then we sat there with tears in front of the mediation person, and she kept saying, are you sure you want to get a divorce? Are you sure you want to get a divorce? Are you guys sure you still want to get a divorce? And we talked afterwards, and we reconciled 3 weeks out from our divorce being final. And his attorney was PO'd because his attorney had me dead to rights. I would have lost that first baby. I would not have had custody of her like I thought I should. And we've been married 32 years. You know, that's, and he got clean and sober too, but he did it before me, right? So that's why he had me dead to rights. Anyway, So when I hear babies in the meetings and I see the mamas and I saw you pregnant gals coming in here and ones that are looking and trying to get their babies, that saved my butt when I came to Alcoholics Anonymous. There was not enough women here, but the women that were here, they started to help me. They took the babies. If I was over there, we'd be outside, we'd be cruising so you could hear the message, so you could hear what was going on, and they allowed me to do that. Alcoholics Anonymous helped me to totally grow up here. I have two beautiful girls now by the same baby daddy. That's important shit. By the same baby daddy. I know, right? Okay, well, you know, whatever. For those of you that don't understand, see me after the meeting, I'll explain it to you. And they're amazing, and they're beautiful. And my second baby that I was pregnant with in drug court has never seen me loaded, has no idea. And my first child has no idea. She doesn't remember. She does not remember anything. She doesn't remember the party. She doesn't remember me having 17 people in a room doing our thing while she slept in her little bitty toddler bed until the wee hours of the morning for days and days and days on end. Right? I'm blessed with that. I'm blessed with that. You know, for whatever reason, God took that out of her little mind and she doesn't remember. And today we have a relationship. I have a really good relationship. And my oldest daughter decided she wanted to go to Colorado to go to school. Off she went to Colorado. I'm thinking in my mind she's coming back, right? Nope. It's been like 7 years now. She's still in Colorado. She's married. I have a grandpuppy. Her name is Aria. And they're waiting kind of like I did. So I think that's kind of cool. But when I figured out that she wasn't coming back, the feelings of abandonment didn't come up because I've been doing the work. I've been doing the step work. I've been looking at Debbie. I've been trying to figure out why Debbie does the things she does so that I don't repeat that stuff. Because I don't want to repeat going to jail. I don't want to do anything that's going to offend you and make you want to not stay. I don't want to lose my job. Thank you. I have had the same job for 12 years now, right? And that's a miracle, because I was completely and totally unemployable when I walked in this door with no keys and no car, and it was not my house. You know, I mean, I had nothing. And so when my oldest daughter decided to stay in Colorado and come back here and get married and go back, that was not abandonment to me. I didn't feel less than. Sure, I miss her, you know, but I got another kid, right? Sure. And then that one graduates from high school, and guess what? She wants to go to college too. Guess where she went? Colorado. Yes. She graduated last year, and she's not coming back because she met him, and she's getting married May this year. And she wants me to be there, and she wants me to be part of that. And because of Alcoholics Anonymous, I'm not that super selfish woman that I used to be, and I'm not making her come back to California to get married here. Because everybody she loves and knows is back there. So we're going, so that she can be around her people, kind of like I'm around my people here, right? Because you guys are my people. And I get to go, and I get to be the mom. Right? And I get to celebrate that with her. And she's found an amazing guy. I mean, when I tell you guys that I am absolutely and completely blessed because of Alcoholics Anonymous, I am completely blessed because of Alcoholics Anonymous. I mean, I have retirements coming on. I got retirement funds. I have things that I never even dreamed of would ever happen to me in Alcoholics Anonymous. And part of my journey in Alcoholics Anonymous was sponsorship. Now, my first sponsor, I had her, and I was walking in the mall one day, and she goes, "Hi, Debbie." I'm like, "Hi." I had no idea who she was. And then she told me she was my sponsor, and I went, "Oh, okay," because I never called her. Never. 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 None of one of those things, I'm not doing this deal, right? My second sponsor, I started my fourth step with her, very involved in the steps, and she went out and slammed heroin in her arm, and she's still not back. And because I thought sponsors were so big here, I had put her on such a pedestal that I almost went out too. Because I thought, if I can't even pick a sponsor, what am I doing? I very quickly was told that sponsors are people just like me that have a little bit more time than I do in this program, that are sharing their experience, their strength, their hope, just like I'm doing here today. And what their job is to help me walk through the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous and to figure out why Debbie does the things she does, so that Debbie doesn't repeat those bad things and figures out the good things. I figured out things I like to collect in Alcoholics Anonymous. They're little bitty shoes. Little shoes. I cannot wear heels, but I have lots of little bitty shoes with big heels. I mean, there's things in Alcoholics Anonymous that I'm a twack. I'm a weirdo. But I'm fun, right? So there came a point in my recovery recently where I really needed to get a new sponsor, and I didn't want to have to make a change, but it was evident that I had to. Not because the sponsor I had did anything wrong, but that life is life and things happen, and I needed to find a new sponsor. And when I looked around the room, I didn't know of a woman that I could ask. And so a thought popped into my head, even though I didn't like him, not very much, and that we had gone toe-to-toe, and that he had told me that cussing is really not a prerequisite to talking in Alcoholics Anonymous. I actually considered asking Lee Carroll to be my sponsor. And he thought about it too for a minute. And then we thought, ooh, we should probably ask our spouses to make sure it was okay. And that started my journey for the very first time in my recovery, working with a man in Alcoholics Anonymous. And it has been an incredible journey so far. I have dug deeper in the last 2 years than I've ever digged in my life. I have figured out that Debbie can get very negative very quickly, that I still have the ability to get angry, and it's all your fault again. And I don't want to be that person. And I knew that if I stayed with the situation I was with, that that's exactly where I was going to stay. And what was happening was people were backing off from me, and nobody wanted to be around me. And I kind of got disenchanted by a women's group because I was getting too negative. And somebody had the guts to tell me what was really going on. And it hurt like heck. But the truth is, it was true. And I didn't even realize it was completely happening. But through working on four steps with Lee and really just doing that work and fighting with him on the phone and telling him, I don't want to do this. You don't understand. I don't need to do this in a four step. I don't need to write about this. Da, 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 da. And he would say, do the work. And we have gone toe-to-toe. We've done text messages where he's pissed me off, and I've called him up, and he didn't realize that what he was saying was offending me, because this is all new, right? This is all new. He's not worked with a woman before, and I've not had a male sponsor. So there's things he doesn't understand. I have girlfriends for that. I have girlfriends for that, right? But I need somebody that is totally enmeshed in Alcoholics Anonymous. And because of that relationship and because of the work that I'm pushed to do, I am right now always in a four step, and I'm in one right now. I'm in another one right now because more will be revealed. You know, they say that we peel like an onion. Well, I'm here to tell you, just in case you were wondering, I am not an onion. I am a rose. And I have petals that are falling off. So I am not an onion. I am a rose. I never liked that onion thing because they make me cry. So I'm a rose. And more is happening, you know, the longer I'm here. And my relationships are getting better. And they're new. And I have new relationships. And I get along with my coworkers. It's not just them. I'm not pointing my finger at you. You're not my problem. You're not my problem. And a lot of the things you do is none of my business. Oh, I want to make it my business like you can't believe. But it is not my business. It's not my business if you guys came or didn't come tonight. I'm blessed that you came. I'm glad you're here. but it wasn't my business to call you up or stand at the door and take roll. Right? To make sure you were supposed to be here. Because don't you know, I'm all of that and a pickle. Oh, don't start, Christy. There's things that are changing today with Debbie because of Alcoholics Anonymous. And because you guys keep coming in the door, these women that I heard this morning or tonight that are brand new coming in here, the women that have plowed the road before me, the men that have plowed the road before me, and people that are not afraid to tell me the truth about Debbie. And I don't like that. But today I need that because I don't want to die. I don't want to die because about 6 months ago, 8 months ago, I really wanted to drink. And I almost did. I almost did. But I told on myself over and over and over and over again, and I did the work I needed to do to get through whatever that was. And today I couldn't tell you what that is. It was just a conglomerate of crap that manifested in my head because this is a disease that centers in my mind. And my mind thinks that 23 years sober today, thank you very much, that I should be better. I stand in front of you, just a woman, in recovery, trying to do this deal just like you are. And I am grateful and I am blessed to be here, to know you, and to have the people in my life that have plowed the road. I've got some great examples and I've had some really great bad examples. So if you're new to Alcoholics Anonymous, please keep coming and try this. It's not BS. It really isn't. It really works. It's really not about you don't understand. It really is doing the writing. Because the freedom on the other side of that is badass. And it feels so much better than any drink or any drug ever did for me. Thank you.
All right. Let's give Debbie another round, huh?